not quite sure what's wrong with me this morning. Yeah, I don't know, just various things that were said kind of messed me up a little bit. As you guys were singing that last song, suddenly I thought of a passage that I'm like, I need to read this. This was very unplanned until 2 minutes ago. But yeah, it's been a journey the last couple years. It's not a secret to anyone sitting here that it's been a journey. It's for all of us together. It's just no fun when people leave. There's questions, there's a little bit of anger, there's a little bit of sadness, there's a little bit of a lot of things. And I want to acknowledge that this morning. But I have a passage I'm going to read. I think it's for us. In the middle of this, there's a verse that beginning of last year, my wife found, and she felt that God gave it to her. This would have been beginning of 2024 already. I'm going to read more than just that verse. I'm going to read, bracketed on both sides, a number of verses. I just think it's for us this morning. Also want to acknowledge, you know, this was originally written to the children of Israel. But the way that Scripture works so many times is it is alive, it is breathing, it is powerful, and it says things. Its message is timeless, and so whether or not it was written to them or we read it today, it still is true. All right, it's in Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Be glad, O children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the latter rain as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is no one else. And my people shall never again be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. That main verse in the middle is what I want you to remember I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. The hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. You know, it feels a little bit like there has been times of swarming locusts and things like that here. And years have just been taken away. And I'm going to believe that this is a promise for us. That all that, those years that were stolen and taken and eaten and destroyed, that the Lord will restore those back to us. And that there will be peace, prosperity. That's just about it. That's enough, right? I think that's what we all want, is peace and prosperity in our church. And I believe it will be. So what I'm going to actually talk about this morning, I guess this kind of started to mess me up a little bit, because when Colin was speaking, you know what? Thank you. I got to thinking that I forgot you can do that. That's great. You can shut it down. That this message this morning, it's definitely for us. It's for me. It's for you. And there are definitely things that I am hoping after this morning that we will all do a little bit differently because of this. But I think in general, it will be a little bit easier for us to do what I'm going to talk about this morning than it is for some other people. And when I was hearing Colin talk about those little boys and all the brokenness in the world, I was like, okay, so this message is fine. You know, we can take it and it makes sense and we can do it. But this message is also for the broken people out there, the little 9 and 10-year-olds that have never known anything solid in their entire life. This message actually is for them too, and it was like, it almost, at first glance, it feels a little bit like a spit in the face. Like if this room was full of those kind of people, what I have to say would almost, it would sound utterly impossible for those people, and you'll see why. But then I was thinking, no, this is timeless, and maybe we'll have more difficulty with this than at first glance. All right. So this, I'll also say this message really comes from last week at our Miller camp, and no one here is there, and so, good. So nobody has heard it. And this was not, I did not preach this at Miller Camp. This was the speaker we had that was going to come, it fell through last minute, and so Daniel tapped Timmy on the shoulder and tapped me on the shoulder and I think a couple other people and said, hey, you know, we don't have a speaker lineup for this morning. If you have anything to share, then, you know, when it gets to that time in service, I'll just turn it over. And if you guys have something, great. If not, you know, we'll be done early. And he had asked me this before, like I got down there probably 8:30 Sunday morning, and he asked me if I would have anything to share, and I was like, well, not really off the top of my head. Well, then we go in and we sit down and we start singing and doing, you know, the things that we do. And then he came around again during one of those songs and just reminded me or said, hey, you know, do you have anything? And I was like, No, I don't. But if I do, when it gets to that point, I'll communicate to you that I have something to share. And literally, immediately after he left, something came to my mind. And I, you know, over the next 5-10 minutes, started formulating a little bit of what I wanted to share. And then a little while later, it came time for those of us, if we had something to share. And Timmy went first. And he started to speak, and about 2 minutes in, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, he was going to say the same thing. He was going to the same passage that I had planned to go to. In the end, it was fantastic because he laid out a masterful impromptu sermon of probably 30 minutes, and then I just got up and gave like a 5-minute thing. And so, honestly, a lot of what I have to share this morning first came from him last week. But it was so, I don't know, it was just so meaningful. And I was not originally going to go here at all. And then I just couldn't get away from it. And I'm like, I got to share it here this morning. So anyway, I need to stop with the introductions and just get into it. Okay, how many of you like to be healthy? Okay, great. Now, how many of you regularly, maybe even just semi-regularly, watch some, you know, there's about a million fitness gurus and nutrition gurus and all these kinds of people, especially these days, YouTube, there's anything. How many of you regularly or semi-regularly watch something like that? Okay, good, that's fine. Now, I'm confident that what I have to say this morning will be more valuable in your journey to health and wellness than anything you heard from the YouTube guru. And I can be confident of that because it's not actually me saying it. It's actually straight from Scripture. I'm going to read, first off, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we're going to go way back to the Old Testament. It is mentioned a couple other places in the New Testament. You're probably wondering, what in the world kind of health and fitness and wellness information can we get? Well, let's find out. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and it is verse 16. It says this, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." And you might be like, oh, that's a little bit of a letdown. I've heard that before. So let's see if I can, and hopefully I can communicate to you the principle, as well as Timmy communicated it to us last Sunday. So there's two words in there that I'm going to unpack just a little bit before we go into the rest of it. It's honor and well. I think I'm going to do well first. So that word well, that it may go well with you, it's a Hebrew word, yatab, which means nothing to us, mostly. And it means pretty much what it says. Is it means to be well, pleasing, glad, or sound. And I think another way to, we don't use the word sound very often in this context in our modern times, but sound means completeness or wholeness. If you know German, Zund is that word. It's sound. Whole, good. It's like that. The same word in the New Testament that is perfect. You know, some of the verses say, "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." We get the wrong idea, I think, when we read that. It means complete. Be complete. It's a lot the same concept. So well is, that's what it means, to be well. To be sound, complete, and whole. something we all want to be, but how do we get there? So the second word that we're going to look at is the word honor. And I did not really realize this, but the word honor is the Hebrew word kabod, and it means something different than I would have originally thought. It means to be heavy or weighty. Now, how in the world, why does it matter? How heavy and weighty, how do we get honorable out of that, or what matters? So, some of you probably noticed, you can't see this over here. Let me move it around. That's a set of weights. There you go, you can see the corner of it. So that's one of the weights. And here's another one. Now, I do want some volunteers. Who wants to come up here? Let's start with, like, the kids. At least two or three of you guys. Who wants to come up here and try to pick these things up? Maybe I should... Let me put them down here so that everybody can see. Okay, who wants to come try? Don't be bashful. JJ, you want to. I can see it in your eyes. I know my boys want to because they said they do. Okay, you don't have to be bashful. Even some of the girls. Do you want to come pick it up? Ah, oh, come on. You can. There's another one here that I'm sure you can pick up. Nobody. Asher, come, because you said earlier you want to go pick it up, so you're stuck. Come. We're going to have other people do it too. Even some of the adults, we're going to give some opportunity here. Yeah, come. Okay. Yeah, there you go, Jake. So first pick that up. Pick it up, hold it up high. Way up high. Is that hard to pick up? Nope. Okay, put it down and see if Jake can pick it up. There you go, way up high. Oh, is that a problem for you to pick that up? Nope, no problem at all. Okay, you can put it back down now. I want you to try this. Give it all you got. Just don't hurt yourself. Okay, not going to happen? Okay, good try. Jake, you give it a try. Gravity's got a firm hold, doesn't it? Okay, good try. You can go back now. Okay, let's step up a little bit. Well, about the only middle-aged young people we have are like Carter and Reagan. I want you two to come up here once. Yep. Now, please don't hurt yourself, anyone. So pick up that thing and tell me if it's a problem at all. Ah, it's terrible, isn't it? By the way, that's 1 pound. It's no problem at all. Nope. Like if you were walking down a path and this thing was in your way, would it be any problem at all for you to just pick it up and toss it out of the way? No. Okay. So let's try this one. You can probably pick it up, but just don't hurt yourself. Okay. No joke, right? Go ahead. Yep. Okay. Now I'm sure there's someone in here that could do the all the way up. But I don't know. Don't know if I want anybody to. Okay, you guys can go back. Okay, who else wants to try it? Let's go with at least one or two of us older ones. I know Logan could come up here and just like Lisa? Yeah, come. Come on. Okay, first do the little one. Pick up the little one first. Just to show that it's no problem, okay? Okay. Oh, look at that. There you go. Good job. Okay. Anybody else? Well, I know some of you guys, you're like, man, I really want to go do that. Maybe if you want to afterwards, you can do that. Austin's tying his shoes. Maybe he's wanting to.
So just, anybody want to guess how much that is? More. More. Not quite. A little bit less. Less than 150. 140. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's not that much, but it's more than I thought 140 was. Now, here's why I wanted to do this. So the word honor means heavy or weighty. So how in the world do we translate something that's heavy or weighty into honor? It's like I alluded to it a little bit. So if this is in the way, if you're going down a path and this is in the way, it's you don't have to expend any extra energy or thought into just moving it out of the way. Now, if this thing was in your way, most of us could move it out of the way, but it takes a little bit more thought and, you know, you got to do it right, because actually that's enough that if you would do it wrong, you could hurt yourself. So it takes way more thought, energy, concentration to do something with this one than it does with this one. To honor something is to give it that energy or that thought. Okay, think of it like this too. If I wanted to honor God, I think this will help us think about it too. If I want to honor God, but I think of God as this heavy, say I wanted to honor him every day. It just doesn't take much to do something with this. But if I wanted to honor God every day and I actually honor him, it's like this. I'm going to have to put a lot more effort and thought and concentration into lifting this thing and maybe even getting it to where you can go up over your head. That's what it means to honor, is to give heaviness to give importance to. Especially, you know, if it's in your way, let's say this was a wall and it weighed that much and you had to move it. Like, you have to think about it. You can't just be as flippant and just like kick it out the side. It takes thought and effort. I think another way, this is, the context here is parents. Honor your father and your mother. Give your father and your mother weight in your life. Because if they're not important at all, it's just like this, you know. But when you honor them, you are giving them a weighty place in your life. The most important things in our lives are the heavy ones, which require more thought, more concentration, all that kind of thing. Now, why would God... Okay, let me jump way ahead. In Ephesians, it says this commandment is repeated. And it says this is the first commandment with a promise. So there is a promise that goes along with honoring father and mother. Now, this is something that's, maybe it's interesting to you, maybe it isn't. As I was reading through the Ten Commandments yesterday, I was like, that's interesting. Eight of these are negative commandments. Thou shalt not. You know, we generally tend to think of the Ten Commandments like that. We tend to think of them as negative. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. And eight of them are like that. There's two that are not. The first one that is not is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But then it goes on. It says, you know, 6 days shalt thou labor, but on the seventh day thou shalt not do any work. So that one is, it is more positive at the beginning, but it does have that thou shalt not mixed in. But this one, honor your father and mother, is only positive. And when I say positive, I'm not talking about good and bad. I'm just talking about it's saying do this action versus do not do this action. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long. In order to have long days, you need to live long, which means you need to have some semblance of wellness, right? That it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honor for our parents. Why is this important? So here's another thing. Honor is not dependent on performance. Now this will make sense. This is why I'll probably for most of us here, I don't know all of your parents or your situation, but for most of us, we probably had decent parents. Some of you maybe not. I don't know everyone like that. But in general, I think a lot of us had fairly decent parents. And on its surface, it's like, well, it shouldn't be that hard for me to honor them. Whereas, you know, the people like Colin talked about, you know, these little kids, their father's in prison, their mother tried to kill them. Like, why in the world would God tell them? Because this is to them too. Why would he tell them to honor their parents, that it may go well with you? There's no other qualifications in there. Like, it doesn't say, you know, if he's nice to you, if he loves you, if he doesn't beat you or doesn't abuse you. It doesn't say that. It just says honor your father and your mother. Why in the world would that be? I guarantee some of you guys can sit here and think, well, there are some things that my father and mother did that were not honorable. And there, guess what? There's also some things that you will do, I will do, as a father or a mother to your kids that are not honorable. No one is exempt here. Why is it important for us to honor, and how in the world does that translate into wellness? There's probably many reasons, but I'm going to focus on two. First of all, how many of you ate breakfast this morning? Okay, how many of you didn't eat anything? How many of you stopped and actually made that decision one way or the other? Oh, I'm just not going to eat anything this morning. Or, oh, I'm going to eat something this morning. You? Okay, there are many, many decisions we all make all the time that affect us. There are some, probably more than we think, but there are some things that are utterly, completely outside of our control. We cannot choose. What's one of them? Derek, did you choose to be born to Mark and Marie? No. Is there anything you can do to change that you were born to Mark and Marie? No. Zero. Zilch. Nothing. There is not one single thing. There is not a strength of thought or energy that you can put into changing that you were born to your parents. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if you had a fantastic mom and dad, or if your mom and dad were not worth the paper that you write their names on as far as being a parent to you. Doesn't matter. You can't choose that. So then, who did? Who chose it? Say it out loud. God did. Okay. This gets really hard for us to wrap our heads around, because it seems so unfair.
Why did God give me a mom and a dad that loved me and cared for me? And why did he give Tamara a mom that gave her up? It doesn't make any sense to us. But God, your parents are God's choice. God never makes mistakes. Never. And that goes, thinking in that way for all the broken little children around the world does not make a lick of sense. But God chose. And when God chooses, that means it is right. So the first reason we must honor our parents is because it was God's choice for us. This is where performance matters nothing. It is, the first part is honoring the choice that God made, that this is your mom and this is your dad. And so, in a way, honoring your parents is honoring God's choice. That's first, I think that's the first reason. It takes out of the equation their performance as a parent to you. You honor them because they were God's choice for you. And the second reason is because you are part of them. Literally. I'm not a scientist, or I'm not a biologist. I don't know all the ins and outs. But I am, for us lay people, I am half my mom and I am half my dad. And you all are half of your parents. You're not as far from them as you think. You're not as different from them as you think. Especially, now this is especially when you think of things, weaknesses they had, ways they mistreated you, things they did wrong, things that you tell yourself, I would never do that to my kids. You're not very far from them because you are them. So first thing, like I said, you honor your parents because they were God's choice. And second, because you're part of them. And if you dishonor them, you're dishonoring yourself. And vice versa. Now, it's a little, I want to be careful how I say this, because in today's world, there is a lot of twistedness when it comes to self-love, and all this stuff. It's all, people are all twisted up. But what does, where's that verse? Yeah, in Mark chapter 12, I thought I had it written down here somewhere. Mark chapter 12, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Find it here. Okay, one of the scribes, a scribe comes to Jesus and asks him, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, number one, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then Jesus, unprompted, he asked him, what's the greatest commandment? Well, Jesus gave him the greatest commandment, but then he continues and says, and the second is like it.
He said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, how hard is it to do those things, to love God and love your neighbor, if you hate yourself? And I'm not coming at this from the New Age love yourself angle. Because in another place, it says, no man yet ever hated his own body. I might beg to differ with that. Well, not really. I feel like I should qualify that. Maybe not. Yeah, I need to. So, we sin in many ways. This is totally side note, but I think I need to say it. We sin in many ways. We have this propensity to sin. But the natural expression, I say natural, it's unnatural in the way that God originally designed us, but it is now natural to us because we have the sin nature. The natural inclination to sin is to take things that God made as good and to do them outside of the boundaries he placed around them. That makes sense? God made food to be good. If you go outside of those and become a glutton, that's sin. Sex is another one. He created it as good. And if it's within his boundaries, it's fantastic. It's how it was supposed to be. If you go outside of that, it's not. It's sin. The natural, there's other things we could say, but does that make sense? Like, natural inclinations to sin take things God created as good and put them outside their boundaries. Things that are detrimental to us as humanity come from the demonic world. There's a lot of sins that the spirit world pushes us to do that have no benefit at all to us. Whereas the things that God created as good, they have a benefit in their place. But there's many things, in today's world especially, that have zero benefit. They actually, like, are, if played out all the way, they will absolutely destroy humanity. And those are the things, I believe, that come from the evil side. Things that we are pushed into doing. And that was not where I was going to go, but I just felt like I needed to make that distinction. Because he said, no man yet ever hated his own body. Unless there's like an evil inclination to destroy your own body. You see that with drugs and all that kind of stuff like that. Anyway, back to this. You cannot love God, love your neighbor, as you love yourself unless you... Maybe let's put it like this, because I don't like to say love yourself either. Maybe just say don't hate yourself. That's where we struggle with today. I know I do. My wife says, you know, I'm my own worst critic. And there's some parts of that are okay, but it can go way, way too far. You are literally part of your parents. And if you hate them, you are hating yourself. Because once again, originally, you are here, because it was God's choice. There's absolutely nothing you could do to change that. So this is why we honor. So here, let me see if I can continue this. This is where it got a little foggy with how Timmy explained it, and it was so good, and I feel like I probably won't say it as well as he did. But there's something about being at peace with yourself. That'll make sense to everyone. There is, everybody in this world, in one way or another, is trying to find peace, right? Probably accurate to say. A lot of times, yes, we try to find peace with our Creator because we have an intuition that there's not peace between us and our Creator. But a lot of us are trying to be at peace with ourselves. And where it really comes out is, especially for us here, who generally had a decent mom and a dad, there are definitely things that they did that we did not like, that we look back and say, that was bad. Or there was an inclination that mom or dad had that I hated. And now I'm doing it just like they did, right? That makes sense to all of us. But we are fighting that war within us to be at peace with ourselves, which is ultimately being at peace with who God made me. And we're often tempted to want to be something that God did not make. God made my nose too big, or my ears too, generally not too small, right? My ears are too big, or my skin's too light, or my skin's too dark, or I don't like my curly hair, or I wish I was taller. Those are all the physical, simple things. How about I have an inclination to collect things. I'm saying I do. To its extreme, it's called being a hoarder. In its proper place, it's called being thrifty, right? I use that as an example because this hits home to me. Because I have struggled in the past with like I can get angry at my dad and my uncles because they're way too sentimental and they hoard things. And now I'm still young, but you know, I'm 38 and I am like them. You are like your parents and your uncles and your aunts. And part of honoring, yes, it starts with father and mother. This honor thing then ripples way out from there. Does not mean you don't honor other people, aunts and uncles, authority, bosses, whatever, other brothers and sisters in church, but it starts with parents. If you honor them and you place them and you say, I will honor God's choice for me, and I will honor that you made me out of them. And yes, we're all on a journey to be sanctified. There are some things that were passed on to me that I want God to sanctify out of me. And there are other things that were passed on to me that I have hated that I'm actually supposed to embrace because it's how God made me. I'm not talking about the sin things with that. There are ways that you were made that God, he wants you to be that way because he actually chose it. He put you in this family because he wanted you to have that trait. And you cannot be at peace with people around you and with God if you're constantly running from that. Peace, we all know it as it's shalom. It's just peace. We cannot have peace. If you are trying to run from who you are, who your parents, I dare say you will not ever have peace. And with peace deep inside, I think that is where it crosses over into the physical world and becomes wellness and wholeness. You can do all the nutritional things you want. You can exercise all you want. And if you are not at peace with who God made you to be, and with who the parents God gave you, I dare say all those other things will have far less effect than they should or they could. Because being at peace with who you are and who God made you is absolutely essential to wellness and to a long life. Now, I know there are times when a life is cut short. We live in a broken world. This is not absolutely, if you do this, you will live to be 90 years old. Not necessarily. I don't really care how long I live, but however long it is, I want those years to be filled with wellness and wholeness and peace. And that starts in this context. Honor your parents. Honor them because they were God's choice for you, first of all. And then you know what? Then you can actually say, I have been blessed. And you can honor them in a whole lot of other ways just because they actually deserve it. I know my parents deserve way more honor than I give them. And I think if we can get this right, what I want to kind of leave with us is this. God first gave this to the children of Israel because he wanted to create a culture among his people. These are my chosen people. This is the culture I want to create. And one of those pieces that's the one this morning is a culture of honor. In a culture where honor is practiced, there will be far more peace than not peace. If there is a culture of honor, and it starts first, honor your parents because God chose them for you. You are a part of them. And then once that is in place, then that honor can begin to move out to where we can begin to honor our brothers and sisters in church, to place more weight on them than we have. There in Philippians it says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Look each of you not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's just another way of saying you're giving more weight to others, because naturally we don't want to do that. We place the most weight on us. A culture of honor. I want to do this. I want all of us to do this. Because I want honor to be, if someone makes a list, let's say in 10 years down the road, and someone writes down, this is what sticks out to you about Mount Zion? I would love for they're an honorable people to be on that list. It's not the only thing. Might not even be the most important thing. But it is important enough to be on the short list. We need to be a people of honor. We must cultivate a culture of honor and reject dishonor at every level. If we do this, I have no doubt in saying it will go well with us. And we will prosper. We will grow. Lives will be changed. So this week, this is something that is actually pretty easy to go from like hearing to like shoe leather. It's not that hard. You know, begin to honor. And I want to do one thing. Obviously, my parents aren't here. I did some of that honoring of them last Sunday at Miller Camp. But today, I want to honor Laverne. You know, here he's in his last couple months. Some of the things that you left us, you changed our culture in various ways. And one of them that I really appreciate is singing the birthday song. It might seem small, but I just don't think it is. I really like it, and I appreciate that. Because what it does is it puts weight on everyone. You're important enough that we acknowledge you're a year older. And I also want to honor you, Laverne, for your ability and your humility to be able to come up here and say when you did some things wrong and you ask for forgiveness. And I really appreciate that. And if I can be like that, that's one of the things I want to be like. And I really, really appreciate that about you. All right. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to turn it over to, I guess, Brandon will close the service. Let's leave here today and start putting some of these things in place. Start honoring, first of all, your parents, and then your aunts and uncles, and then the people around you. Let's be a people of honor. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the message that you have put in your word. Lord, I ask that as we leave here, that we could put this into practice, that we could become a people of honor who esteem others higher than themselves. Doesn't mean we esteem ourselves worthless. We esteem others better than ourselves. We put weight on them. Lord, teach us even more how to honor. Just lead us. In your name I pray, amen.